Well, good morning. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at Bethany. And again, we welcome you to worship, especially those who are joining us online this morning. Today is the last day of our series, Road Trip. And today's theme is, this is what arriving is like. There was a Minnesota couple who decided to vacation to Florida. They wanted to stay in the very same hotel that they had spent their honeymoon in 20 years earlier. But because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate travel plans. So the husband left Minnesota, flew to Florida on Thursday, and his wife would fly down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in the lobby, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left one letter off of the email address. And without realizing his error, he went ahead and sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a pastor for many years who God called home following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, especially the messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. Date, May 6th. It continued, "I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here. And you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Look forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is uneventful as mine. P.S. It sure is hot down here." Well, we've been on this vacation, this road trip now, for 8 weeks. Just think of how many miles one could cover in 8 weeks traveling the country. How many sights you would have seen, how many pictures you would have taken, and how much gas you would have used. I remember when I was young, my parents loved to take road trips. We didn't usually travel too far, because back then there wasn't much of an interstate system. It wasn't until I was 6 years old that the interstate system was signed into law by President Eisenhower. Until then, there weren't the superhighways that we enjoy now. So it often would take twice as long to travel from one state to another on the two-lane highways. And I remember whenever we'd go from our home in Detroit down to visit my grandparents in Columbus, Ohio, it would be about a six-hour trip. We would leave after Dad's work on Friday, and my parents would make a bed for me in the back of the car. Well, you have to remember, this was a Buick Century, 1956, and it had a tall hump in the back of the car. And so that was in the middle for the drive shaft, and they would put suitcases on each side to make a bed. That was before video games, movies on iPads, or tape cassette Walkmans to entertain. And we packed a lunch because fast food restaurants were still becoming a reality. And Mom and Dad really didn't want to waste time sitting in a restaurant on the way. Road trips had a whole different meaning then. And I would be asking the question, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It seemed so long to get to Grandma's house. Then when we took our boys on a road trip to Texas to see their grandma, they asked the same question, are we there yet? They would love to go to Six Flags over Texas because we would go after four when it was a little bit cheaper. And since we pushed Grandma in a wheelchair, we were allowed to go to the front of the line. And they thought that was pretty cool. Well, we've talked these last 8 weeks about choosing a destination in life, refueling your faith, making good decisions in your life's journey, and today we want to focus on, this is what arriving is like. For Christians, Arriving is being able to live life fearlessly as we place our faith and our trust in Christ. We have arrived when we experience freedom from the fear of death, freedom from the fear of not being good enough, freedom from the fear of the uncertainty of our future, and freedom from having to carry all the weight of our lives. We have arrived when we experience freedom from the fear of death. And we have arrived. Paul writes in Romans, which is the longest, the weightiest, and most influential of all his writings, "For the wages of sin is death." Paul is right up front. He says we're all going to die because that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and what God intended for his people. Yet there is more to Paul's thought as he continues the good news for God's people. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And my friends, that is the good news. Death is not the end of the story. Christ's sacrifice on the cross gained that salvation for us. We have been named and claimed in baptism by Christ and given his Spirit to reside within us. This morning, the parents of Levi and later Nora at the next service will hear those promises spoken for their children. They will hear how the water washes away our sin so that a new self should rise, as Martin Luther said. We are confident that through baptism, we are given new life in Christ. Jesus calls us into a faith relationship. And because we believe, because we trust in the promises of God, we have that free gift. Jesus earned our salvation. So we don't need to worry about earning our way to heaven. In our culture, we're so accustomed to having to work for whatever we get. We know that there are no free lunches. Unless, of course, you're behind someone in a fast food line, they decide to pay it forward and buy your meal. But that's the wonderful news of God's grace. Paul says, it's free. I don't have to follow rules perfectly for God to forgive me. I don't have to check all of the boxes of our faith. I'm in. No, he just calls us to believe and have faith. Have you ever heard the phrase, we are transient aliens in a foreign world? Heaven is my home. As followers of Christ, we don't need to worry about our future. We can celebrate that death. In death, we have life. Our tears of sorrow turn into shouts of joy because God calls us to share in his eternal kingdom. So why do we resist talking about death? I encourage folks to talk with their families about their funeral wishes, their celebration of life's service. Share with your loved ones. What are your favorite faith songs? What is your favorite scripture? Plan your service as you would plan for a family reunion or a milestone celebration in your life, because this is another milestone. God blesses us in so many ways on life's journey, and this is the final blessing, to feast at the heavenly banquet of Christ. We have arrived when we have freedom from the fear of feeling we are not good enough. So often in life, we have outcomes and goals that we want to meet, and sometimes we apply them to our own sense of self-worth. There may be some sitting here today feeling, if I don't get the best grades in school, if I don't advance in my job regularly at work, if I'm not the best parent or coach in the neighborhood, if I'm not perfect in God's eyes, then I'm not good enough. But that's the good news for us to hear today. We don't have to be perfect. We can make mistakes. We can fail at times. But God still loves us unconditionally. Just as our family loves us unconditionally when we make mistakes and aren't perfect. When our boys were growing up, they were good, but they weren't angels. And when they got in trouble at school or got in trouble at home, we would remind them that we still loved them, but we did not love their behavior. Paul reminds us how God loves us extravagantly. Notice how Paul is so extreme in his explanation of God's love from the New Living Translation. And I love this. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. When we think about the two extremes that Paul is proposing of death versus life, angels versus demons, we are reminded that there is nothing that is devoid of God's love when it involves you and I. His love breaks through all the trials and challenges in our lives. Even the forces of evil cannot prevail against his promises and the hope that is ours in Christ. In these two verses, Paul uses the word separate three different times. And the Greek word for separate refers to being apart or being forsaken by God. But Paul says there is nothing like the sound of a big bass drum. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's no way that God would forsake us. That's because we are redeemed and set apart for his purposes. We have arrived when we have freedom from the fear of the uncertainty of the future. We have a natural inclination, I believe, to worry about upcoming events or whether our income will be enough to retire or will I find the perfect mate to share my life. I've said before that my mother, she was a worrier about everything. She worried whether when Jackie and I would travel, we needed to let her know when we left, we needed to let her know when we got to our destination. And if we didn't call her every weekend, she worried that something was wrong. When I was growing up, she didn't want me to ride the public bus like my friends were doing because she worried something would happen. Some would say that when we worry, we don't trust God enough. We know that God has a plan for our lives. And as we approach him in prayer, we can discover what direction he wants us to go. I believe he opens and closes doors for us according to his will if we're paying attention. God invites us to set some goals for our faith journey. Paul's goal was to model the gospel in his life so that he could proclaim the good news of Christ to all those he encountered. That is our purpose as well. In the beginning of our road trip, Pastor John invited us to set some faith goals. These goals are ones that are a little out of our reach so that God can show up and assist us along the way. Pastor John invited us to come up with two different goals for this summer. These goals are ones that require us to have faith in God and to focus our energy. The first goal was to be the most important personal goal that you would like to accomplish with God's help. What did you work on this summer that you were able to change and develop with God's help? Maybe you decided to be a part of the Rooted experience this summer. Over the past 10 weeks, we heard about 10 people who learned and grew with the seven rhythms of faith that are the foundation of Rooted. And you heard how they started and how their faith journey ended and how it was impacted in these 10 weeks through their cardboard testimonies. As each of us worked on our personal goals this summer, how did God show up for you? The second goal, which was the most important ministry goal that you would like to accomplish with God's help. We think of ministry when we think help someone else in the name of Jesus. Was it serving here at Bethany this summer in some capacity? There are many opportunities such as hospitality, serving during worship, making a difference in the lives of our youth, helping with faith formation, with Journey, Transform, or Merge Kids, of being part of our mission outreach. Maybe you attended the mission trip to Costa Rica, or maybe you helped make peanut butter sandwiches for Open Door Mission, or maybe you helped as one of the 140 volunteers at Vacation Bible School. We invite you to join us for our VIP event that's coming up August 14th for those who volunteer here in the church. Ministry goals can also, though, be outside in our community through Christian Outreach Program of Elkhorn, serving at the Lydia House, leading a Bible study in the community, or get this, maybe you spent time listening to a coworker or neighbor who's struggling in their life. We weren't put here just to live for ourselves, but to care for each other, and in doing so, we honor God. Whatever you did, we pray that you were able to accomplish your ministry goal with God's help. But don't stop when the summer ends. Continue to work on these goals throughout the year. Allow them to change and adapt to your changing circumstances in life. And finally, we have arrived when we have freedom from the fear of having to carry all the weight of life. As you may recall, Jesus lived in an agrarian society where animals were used for much of the farming and chores. So it was natural that Jesus used the metaphor of a yoke for bearing the weight of burdens in life. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel. "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus knew of the stresses in life, just as today. They were, too, were dealing with financial issues, political issues, illness in his time. God knows what burdens are on your hearts this morning. Maybe it's mounting bills because of COVID or inflation or other financial concerns. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis or current illness that you're dealing with. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Whatever it is, I have a thought for you. This comes from a conversation I had recently with a coworker as we were talking about faith issues and dealing with burdens. They told me about their neighbor who comes home every night and stands in front of a tree in their lawn. While standing at the tree, he moves his hands over his head as if he were taking something off. So eventually my coworker went over and asked, "What was he doing each night when he came home from work?" He said, "I don't want to take the stress, the burdens, and frustrations of my job into my home and around my family. So I take the burdens, the yoke of my shoulders, and leave it outside at the tree." Think of that in terms of our faith. Can you envision standing at the cross of Jesus? Stand at the foot of the cross, and when those burdens and stresses overwhelm you, take them from around your shoulder and leave them at the foot of the cross. I offer this as a visual image for you because we are visual people, and sometimes having an image in our mind's eye enables us to understand or deal with life easier. Lay your burdens at the cross of Jesus and learn from him. Allow him to carry you in those moments, as the poem Footprints says. There's a story about a man who said that, "Jesus, you promised to walk with me all of my life." And in the sand, he saw four sets of footprints. And then at one point, he only saw one set of footprints. And he asked Jesus why. And Jesus said, "It was at that moment that I carried you." Let Christ carry you in those difficult and challenging times. Then I love the second part of Matthew's gospel here. This verse, Jesus says, as we come to him with our burdens, he invites us to exchange our yoke and heaviness for his. He gives us the invitation to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Learn from him. Christ will teach us how to trust in him and to carry the weight of this life. And we can do it in a way that strengthens and supports us because of his extravagant love for us. We need not fear the trials and challenges of the day because he's got this. It's through his power, his promises, his presence that we find rest for our souls. That is what arriving is like. When we can live without fear, we know that we cannot be separated from God's love no matter what happens in our life. God is always there, reaching out to us and helping us cope. We can live without fear because our lives are rooted in gratitude for our living God who works everything for the good of those who love him. This is what arriving looks like. Would you pray with me? You know, God, there are times in our lives that we struggle and wonder, where are you? Help us to believe the words of Paul. There is nothing that can separate us from your love, that you're always there in good and bad. Help us to trust in your grace, to know that we are good enough in your sight, that your extravagant love accepts us just as we are. Encourage us to trust you with the burdens of life and know that you are there to carry us. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.